Chapter 11. Skippy was super, extra, mega excited about the next site on his list. It was the location that he thought was almost certain to contain an Elder site. What interested me in this system was centered on a Class K orange star, about half the size of Earth's sun. It wasn't just another too common red dwarf. Skippy was fairly bursting with confidence because this star system, with its location in the Orion Spur near Damaran's Nebula, was perfectly situated for an Elder communications node. That was because of invisible force lines in the galaxy, or some sciencey BS like that Skippy had made a futile attempt to explain to me. We found the star system. We did not find any sign of an Elder facility, or any sign an Elder facility had ever been there. After 4 days of intensive scanning, Skippy was frustrated and sounded depressed. That makes absolutely zero freaking sense. Zero. I've proven that my model for predicting unknown Elder sites is valid. If any place should have an Elder site, it's this star system. I do not understand this at all. A moon orbiting this gas giant is the perfect place. There should be an Elder facility here. Should we keep looking, Skippy? Maybe there is another Elder facility somewhere else in this system. Unlikely, he said sourly, disappointment clear in his voice. Oh, what the hell, sure. Why not? Maybe there's some unknown minor factor that I'm not taking into account. Do you mind if we take the ship around the system for a week or so? I want to make some very detailed sensor readings. We'll go wherever you want, Skippy. Really? He sounded surprised. Yeah. Duh, you lunkhead. The whole reason we're out here is to find your magic freaking radio. We'll go wherever you think we need to go. Within reason. I'm not endangering the crew without a damn good reason, you know that. You want the Dutchman to hop around this system a couple days? 5 days. A week at the most. No problem. This will be a good opportunity for training. You okay if we program some of the jumps? He sighed. In that case, better plan on 10 days because we'll be so off target on every jump. You monkeys are lucky to hit the correct star system. With the Flying Dutchman making short hops around the star system, the crew took the opportunity for extensive training that we couldn't do while the ship was traveling between stars. Pilots had fun flying dropships, flying the flower in simulated combat, and programming jumps on our own. We were getting somewhat better at our jump accuracy, despite Skippy's constant mocking and complaining. The science team, when not examining the sensor data Skippy was collecting, was also busy training. Mostly, their training involved how to use spacesuits without killing themselves. They also went through familiarization with ship systems they wouldn't normally have contact with, such as the sensor and weapons controls in the Combat Information Center. While I was duty officer on the bridge one day, three scientists got a tour of the CIC. It was a slow time for the bridge and CIC crews. All dropships were safely tucked into their landing bays, and the flower was attached to its platform for maintenance. There were not any crew outside the ship practicing spacewalks, and we weren't scheduled to jump again for another 3 hours. Sitting in the command chair, I was taking a quiz about the flight controls on a Theranan dropship and hoping there would be good stuff left over for lunch in the galley when my shift ended at 1400 hours. One of the scientists, a Dr. Zheng, wandered away from the CIC and into the bridge. Sergeant Adams hurried over to shoo her away from me, but I signaled to Adams that I was fine with Zheng being there. Dr. Zheng, you enjoying the tour? I asked. She was a biologist and medical doctor. The ship's controls might have been less interesting to her than to others on the science team.
It is good to get out of the lab, she said with a smile. So far, the only places we've been to have been an abandoned space station and some airless moons. There has not been much for a biologist to do. I've been helping Major Sims in the hydroponics hold.
Before we left Earth, Sims had brought aboard experimental hydroponics equipment. I think it was something NASA had been playing with. We were growing fresh vegetables and fruit using hydroponics. Our first crop of spinach had been served in a salad 2 days ago. The space-grown spinach had tasted great to me.
When we came out here, I had hoped for greater opportunities to study alien biospheres, Zheng hinted.
Damn. One thing I was not in the mood for right then was an uncomfortable conversation. Doctor, I did explain our situation, our mission, before we left orbit.
I said gently, wishing to avoid an argument. Plus, I could empathize with her. She was bored, with few prospects of pursuing her life's work. In fact, I argued against including a science team. You are not essential to the mission, and you are putting your lives at great risk being out here. As I told everyone who applied for the mission, it is unlikely, highly unlikely, that we will ever return to Earth. Even if the mission is concluded successfully, the ship could be stranded in deep space.
If Skippy leaves us?
Yes, I said simply.
Would you really do it?
She pointed to the self-destruct button on the left arm of the captain's chair, under its clear plastic protective cover with self-destruct in large red letters. To press the button, the duty officer needed to turn a lever that held the clear plastic cover down, flip the cover back out of the way, press the button once to activate, then hold the button down to confirm. At the same time, another officer in the CIC needed to do the same to the self-destruct button there. That was a precaution against accidents, or somebody going crazy. Precautions were all fine ideas, and assuring to the crew. In reality, Skippy wouldn't allow the nukes to detonate unless I ordered them to explode, and Skippy agreed.
Would you destroy the ship if we were stranded? Or if aliens were going to board the ship and learn humans are out here?
I do it without hesitation, I said grimly. Her raised eyebrows told me I'd surprised her, and not in a good way.
That's
without hesitation, because if I took time to think about it, I might not do it, I added. Army training is damn good. It not only trains you for what to do, it trains you to do it no matter what the conditions. Trains you to do what you have to, even when you're tired, and you're hungry, and you're injured, and people are shooting at you. You've seen soldiers taking apart their weapons and putting them back together over and over, blindfolded? She nodded. We do that so the action is in our muscle memory and we don't have to think about it. It's like tying your shoes. You don't really need to think about it, right? You've done it so many times that your fingers know what to do.
I never thought about it like that.
I am not going to self-destruct the ship unless we absolutely have to. If we have to, I will do it. We can't allow our actions out here to put Earth at risk. I could see my little speech hadn't helped her mood any, so I added, One thing I can tell you, Doctor, is that anything can happen out here. You may very well get an opportunity to study alien biology firsthand. She nodded silently, unconvinced. Sergeant Adams took that cue to usher her out of the bridge, and I went back to my dropship flight controls quiz. Or I tried to. Talking about self-destructing the ship had put a damper on my mood also. Now I was really hoping there was something good left in the galley when my shift ended. While the Dutchman hopped around the star system, I took the opportunity for real flight training, including my first solo flight in a dropship. Skippy announced that he grudgingly, reluctantly, had to concede that it was possible, although extremely unlikely, that I might be able to fly an actual dropship away from the Dutchman without immediately destroying both the dropship and the star carrier. For my first solo flight, he did request we first eject his escape pod out to a safe distance, a request I denied. The whole time I was flying, a simple loop around the Dutchman and back into the landing bay, he grumbled, second-guessed everything I did, and predicted doom for me and everyone aboard our starship. On my own, I got the dropship lined up to re-enter the landing bay and manually flew it in, using gentle, precise movements with the thrusters. While the Dutchman usually took control of dropships and guided them in, for pilot training we needed to learn how to handle the task manually. My first attempt to settle the dropship into the docking clamps missed by less than half a meter. Keep in mind, this smaller type of Theranin dropship was still almost 40 meters long and weighed more than a Boeing 767. It wasn't like flying a little Cessna. Even the smallest dropship needs the capability to drop down through an atmosphere without burning up from heat, plus the ability to lift itself, passengers and cargo all the way from the surface into orbit, and sometimes beyond. Even the incredibly advanced technology of the Theranin couldn't shrink a dropship to anything smaller than a medium-sized airliner on Earth. Flying in the vacuum and zero gravity of interstellar space, the dropship still had substantial mass. When it got moving in the wrong direction, it took a lot of force from thrusters to correct its course. One little adjustment from me got the dot of light centered over the docking clamps in the cockpit display, and I pressed the button to engage the clamps. As the dropship was pulled down and secured, I announced, "Dutchman, this is Barney, down and secured. Powering down now." Barney was my stupid pilot call sign. I wanted something cool like Rocket Man. The problem with that notion was that traditionally pilots do not get to choose their own call signs. Your call sign is chosen for you by other pilots, and a request for anything too cool like Top Gun is immediately shot down by your fellow pilots. Barney was the least humiliating of my call sign options. I had to talk our pilot community out of calling me Buzzer. That was a name they wanted to give me because of the number of times the cockpit warning buzzer had gone off while I was flying. Stupid buzzer. I suspected that Skippy made the damn thing go off at random just to mess with me. Desai replied, "Barney, welcome back. Closing landing bay doors now."
"Roger, Dutchman. How did I do?"
Skippy answered before Desai could speak.
"It is a miracle. Truly a freaking miracle. Barney, the fact that we all survived you flying on your own is compelling evidence of divine intervention."
"You did just fine, Colonel Bishop," Desai assured me. "Your first solo flight was a success. You are ready for the next phase of training. We'll find a nice asteroid or small moon for you to land on somewhere."
"Great." I saved the controls and unstrapped from the seat. "Desai, after I finish dropship training, I can start learning about systems aboard the Flower?"
"Yes, sir. It is not that diff—"
she started to say.
"What? Joe is going to try flying a starship?"
"Oh man, forget it," Skippy moaned.
"The galaxy is doomed. Doomed! Look, you need to drop me off somewhere first. I'll put together a list of uninhabited planets."
We stayed there for 9 days. It was 9 days of excellent training for the crew, and the science team got to pore over the super detailed sensor data that Skippy was collecting. Skippy confirmed the star system was indeed a perfect location for an Elder comm node. He confirmed there absolutely should be an Elder facility there, and he also confirmed there was no sign the Elders had ever been there. For several days he was quiet, not making his usual snarky comments, not engaging me when I tried to provoke him. So I changed tactics and was extra nice to him. That may have helped, or maybe he perked up simply because we got to the next site, and he had something to occupy himself. The next star system we investigated was another disappointment. It was not a disappointment in terms of us not finding an Elder facility where Skippy predicted there should be one. It was not a disappointment in terms of the Elder site having been looted of all the valuable stuff long ago. It was a disappointment because the place was smashed to bits. This site, unlike most of the sites we'd seen so far, was not on an airless moon orbiting a gas giant planet. This site was on a planet, about half the size of Earth, that had a thin atmosphere composed mostly of carbon dioxide. From what we could detect from orbit, it was lifeless, unless there were organisms in the soil. The disappointment was caused by the fact that the Elders clearly had built a facility there, a large facility, and that the surface of the planet had been extensively bombarded by meteors. Skippy's analysis determined that this star system used to have a normal asteroid field, and that somehow the orbits of the asteroids had been disrupted to send rocks careening around the system. The two innermost planets, including the one with the Elder facility, had gotten seriously pounded over millions of years, and the bombardment was still continuing. "Is there anything left down there?" I asked hopefully. On the display, a map showed the original outlines of the Elder base. It had sprawled over 2 kilometers in diameter. Surely something that size could not have been completely wiped out of existence. "No," Skippy sighed. "There's a whole lot of nothing down there, Joe. A big meteor went splat practically right on top of the place about 3 or 4 million years ago, and there are impacts in the area before and after the big rock fell. Any Elder artifacts that survived the big impact would have been thrown far away. There is a debris field extending 300 kilometers from the impact site."
300 kilometers? I asked, astonished.
"Meteors can be big, Joe. This planet has been hit many times by objects larger than the one that hit the Yucatan Peninsula on Earth and finished off the dinosaurs."
"Damn. Are there any meteors or asteroids or whatever that will hit soon?"
"I haven't completed a scan of the entire system yet. I can tell you there aren't any objects larger than a basketball that will impact within the next month."
"Why? Are you thinking of going down there?"
"Yeah. We can scan the surface, right? If we find any Elder stuff that's still intact, we should go check it out.
Also, our pilot should get experience flying dropships in an atmosphere. This could also be a good place for practicing ground assaults. As long as we're here, we might as well take the opportunity. He sighed heavily. Sure. Why not? Listen, Skippy. I know you're disappointed. We all are. Again, your method of predicting the location of Elder sites has been pretty damned accurate so far, right? We're on the trail. It's only a matter of time now. The Dutchman stayed in orbit around the site for 7 days while we conducted extensive training. The science team was given permission to go down to the surface also, after I made them go through an hour of begging and whining about it. Dr. Zhang, the biologist, was super excited to find microorganisms in the soil. Skippy declared they didn't pose any threat to human biology, so I let her bring samples aboard the ship. Part of the training was for ground troops to test the portable shelters we'd constructed. Captain Smythe and his SAS team stayed overnight in shelters on the surface. They were scheduled to come back aboard in the morning, and I got up early to prepare a treat for them in the galley. Crap! Damn it, I wanted to make cinnamon rolls to go with breakfast, but this worthless dough isn't rising. I jiggled the bowl with the dough, as if that was going to help. The dough just sat there unhelpfully, looking stupid and uncooperative. Adams peered over the counter at the dough. Smells good. No, I had to admit, that's the cinnamon sugar mix I was going to put in. As a colonel, I should have been able to order the dough to rise. That hadn't worked. Well, if this doesn't rise, maybe I can pass it off as cinnamon pita bread. Adams laughed. I don't think you're going to fool anyone with that. It's your fault, Joe, Skippy said through a speaker. You didn't give the dough anything to feed on. You didn't use the sugar like you were supposed to. There's plenty of sugar here, Skippy. I pointed to the plastic bowl of cinnamon and sugar next to the dough. I mean you're supposed to put some sugar in the dough, dum-dum. The yeast eats the sugar and create gas that causes the dough to rise. Did you even read the instructions? I said guiltily. Sort of. I had seen sugar in the recipe. The cinnamon rolls looked easy when my mother made them. It's doomed, then? Could be. I've performed a chemical analysis. It is possible you could still rescue that awful mess. Put some plastic wrap over the top, cover it with a towel, and put it near that heat lamp to your left. Not under the heat lamp, just near it. Thanks, Skippy. No problem. I calculate a 62% chance of success. Next time, read the recipe, huh? I can't do all of your thinking for you. Skippy saved the day. The dough rose somewhat, and people loved the cinnamon rolls. Sure, maybe they mostly liked the sweet icing I put on top. After Smythe's team came back aboard, we retrieved the dropships and jumped away to check out the next potential site. That was our sixth potential site we explored. I had lost track. The crew was exhausted from the grueling training we'd conducted. It was actually good that it was going to take us 2 weeks to get to the next target. People needed rest, and equipment needed maintenance. Skippy's mood could have used some improvement also. 3 days of stand-down rest left the crew refreshed, and we went back to a normal schedule. After the excitement of training on a planet, the crew and the science team were all eagerly anticipating what we would find next. I tried to temper their enthusiasm. What we didn't need was another disappointment sinking our morale. We needed diversions aboard the ship. I made plans to meet Major Sims at dinner to talk about what sort of fun we could have with the supplies she'd brought on board. The British team was cooking that day. It was something they called Sunday roast dinner, and it smelled delicious when I walked in the galley. Then I looked at it. It was some sort of green, wrinkly, stiff vegetable-looking thing on the side of my plate. And next to the roast chicken and Yorkshire pudding and the carrots and the scalloped potatoes, it was out of place, like someone had crumpled up a green napkin and left it there. Sims was sitting to my left. I whispered to her, keeping quiet to avoid insulting the British team. Major, what is this? You ever been to a salad bar at a restaurant? She asked quietly. The salad stuff is in bowls. The bowls are on top of a bed of ice, and in between is this stuff. A light bulb went on in my head. Oh yeah, I've seen this stuff. With a fork, I poked at it. I thought that was plastic decoration. It was supposed to be lettuce or something. That stuff is real? It's supposed to be food? It is food. It's kale. It's good. Look, it's not limp like lettuce. She was right.
It moved under my fork like it was crisp.
Kale, yeah, I've heard of it. They deep fry it, right?
I don't know how they prepared it. Now she poked it with a fork suspiciously. You know what would make it better? I stabbed the kale with a fork and sniffed at it. If they did deep fry it, but replaced the kale with a Snickers bar.
Or Twinkie, Taylor said. Have you ever tried a deep-fried Twinkie? They have them at the State Fair in Tennessee.
A deep-fried Twinkie. Unbelievable, Skippy said from the speaker in the ceiling. This is proof there is a God.
Huh? I asked. How do you figure that?
Because this clearly shows you monkeys are so freaking stupid. There's no way you could have survived until now without divine intervention helping you.
Amazing. I took a bite of the kale, if that's what it was. It wasn't bad.
Whatever this is, apparently it's a religious experience for Skippy.
I didn't say... Oh, forget it. People laughed. Not at me this time. At Skippy.
Shut up, all of you.
Wow, that was a snappy comeback.
Bye, Skippy, I said. Pleasant dreams.
I could get to like kale, if that's what it was.
A thought occurred to me while sitting in my office 3 days before we were scheduled to arrive at the next target. It was not a pleasant thought. I pulled up a schematic of the ship on my tablet, then an external view we'd taken from the Theranan dropships.
Skippy, how many star carriers like the Dutchman do the Theranan have?
If you mean this particular type or class of ship, they have hundreds. It is a common design they have used for almost 400 years with little change.
He snorted.
Little change, because in the last 400 years the Theranan haven't managed to steal enough higher technology to improve their piece of junk starships, or they stole it and can't figure out how it works. Stupid little green pinheads.
They have hundreds exactly like the Dutchman. No little differences.
I knew the United States Navy had standard ship designs like the Arleigh Burke destroyers, but among those ships were subclasses that an experienced sailor could identify at a glance.
Oh, yeah, sure, there are subtle differences, as ships are overhauled or upgraded over the years.
There are, or were, about 70 ships almost identical to our Flying Dutchman.
Why? Were you hoping our pirate ship is something special? A collector's item or something?
The opposite, Skippy. I'm hoping there is nothing unique about the Dutchman that can be easily identified. If someone gets close enough for a good look at us, or our stealth field fails, I don't want the Theranan realizing this is the same ship that disappeared near Paradise. That ship disappeared near where there are humans, plus the wormhole near the human homeworld mysteriously shut down around the same time this ship disappeared. That might make a suspicious Theranan ask too many questions.
I see your point, and it is a good one, Joe.
The Theranan tend to be rather paranoid about security.
Not paranoid enough. They didn't count on Skippy the Magnificent.
True, I am magnificent. And if you are being sincere for a change, thank you.
Sincere. I give you props when you've earned it, Skippy.
All right, have the Theranan lost a star carrier just like this one? Lost like they didn't see it get destroyed in battle? All they know is it went missing somewhere, the way this ship did?
That's a tough one. I need to search the Theranan database.
No, unfortunately. No ship exactly like this configuration is missing other than the Dutchman itself.
Crap.
However, Skippy added with a touch of a smirk to his voice, a star carrier very similar to the Dutchman did disappear mysteriously in this sector 17 years ago. At the time, it was fully loaded with heavy Kristang warships. The Theranan found debris from several of that star carrier's Theranan escort ships, but never any sign of the star carrier itself, or of even a single one of the Kristang ships. At the time, the Theranan accused the Kristang of having stolen their star carrier, while the Kristang accused their patrons of destroying or losing an entire Kristang heavy battle group. According to the databanks I downloaded from both the Theranan and Kristang, neither side admits to knowing what happened. Or they do know, and they're not stupid enough to put it in a database aboard a ship.
True, although in this case I suspect the Theranan truly do not know what happened to that ship.
I suspect nefarious action by the Kristang. They would gladly throw away a battle group of their own crappy ships in order to capture a Theranan starship with an advanced jump drive.
That missing ship is close enough to the Dutchman, especially with modifications that would have inevitably been made in the past 17 years, that we could easily pass for that ship.
The Theranin identify their ships by quantum fluctuations embedded in the jump drive fields. Each ship is unique. I could adjust our drive coils to mimic the missing ship's signature.
I gave a big thumbs up, knowing Skippy could see that. That would be excellent. Not only do we avoid the Theranin suspecting humans stole their ship, we may sow distrust between the Theranin and the Kristang.
Skippy laughed. Oh, boo-hoo. Gosh, it would be just awful for the lizards and little green men to get any more hateful of each other.
Yeah, keep in mind, we would rather that no one gets a good look at the Dutchman. You keep using your magic to make people out there think we're a Giraptha ship.
Understood.
Hey, between us, we came up with another good idea. Mostly me, of course. As a monkey, I wasn't going to argue with him.
Of course.